Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Avoy Dezor Daf Nun Aleph, we begin on Nun Amud Beis. It is 8 lines off the bottom of the Amud. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, he quotes Amar Rab. So basically anything that a guy will set up as an idol is considered Avodah Zarah. Okay? Except if it's a mechubar or a mountain. Okay, but typically any item, any statue, any idol is considered an object of Avodah Zarah. Now, what form of service to that idol is considered worshipping an idol? So Rashi goes through a whole sort of a summary. He says like this. If the fellow is doing something which is done in the Beis HaMikdash, Lahavdol, right, to Hashem, for instance, Zvicha, Shechita of an animal, right? The Pasuk says, Zoveyach, if one does that to Avodah Zarah, it's a no-no, right? Bilti LaHashem Levade, these things are meant to be exclusively for Hashem's sake in the Beis HaMikdash. So if he diverts that type of Avodah, that type of service, that type of worship, that is considered idol worship. And this is irrespective of whether or not this form of service is meant for this particular idol. Each type of idol expected a different type of service was expected for that idol, right? So even though this is not prescribed for this specific type of idol, nevertheless it's called avodah zarah. On the other hand, if one actually serves the idol in a manner which is typically done for this particular idol, so he's chayiv, it's avodah zarah, despite the fact that it's not done in the Beis HaMikdash. But if it's nor this nor that, this form of service is not meant for this idol, nor is it done in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not called avodah zarah. So that's sort of a quick overview of the upcoming sugya. And now we're going to find a case which is sort of in a gray area and try to determine its status. So let's say you have an Avodah Zarah, as Rashi explains it, Avodah Zarah, which is served using a stick. They take a stick and they wave it, you know, a hockey stick or whatever, right? They wave it in front of the Avodah Zarah. Rashi calls it Shemekashkashin Lofaneba Makel. They wave a stick to the Avodah Zarah. So that's the case we're talking about. Now, instead of waving that stick, which would certainly be considered avodah zarah with all its consequences, he didn't do that. He broke the stick, or he threw the stick. So what's the halacha there? Has he committed idol worship or not? Amar b'dam rav, avodas kecham sho'ed noisa b'makel. A specific type of statue, an idol, which is usually served, worshipped with a stick, by waving it in front. Instead of waving it, shovar makel b'faneo. He broke it into two pieces. In front of the Avodah Zarah, in honor of the Avodah Zarah, Chayav. He has committed Avodah Zarah. But Zorak Makil Bafaneo Potter. But if he merely tosses it, throws it, he's Potter. I'm going to buy the rubber. What's the difference? Maishno Shavar. Why is it that breaking constitutes Avodah Zarah? The Havali Kain Zvicha, because it's reminiscent of slaughtering, of shechting an animal, which is something done in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? You break into two, you cut the neck off, you break the backbone, right? So breakage of a stick is considered like breaking of an animal, like zvicha, like shchita, and therefore he's chayev by doing it to this avodah zarah. Because, as Rashi explains, this material is appropriate for this avodah zarah, right? The stick is prescribed for this avodah zarah. So at least you have the material, proper material. So even though you're not really performing the proper act, but since you're doing an act which resembles avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, he's chayev. And likewise, the item becomes usur. The broken stick becomes takrevis avodah zarah. It's considered an offering to an idol. It's asur b'hana forever, right? Well, if that's the case, zarah k'nami. Even if he just threw it. Havala kein zrika. That's also reminiscent to something in the Beis HaMikdash. It resembles zrika. Splattering of the blood of the carbon on the mizbeach. Right? There's no breakage there, just throwing it. Amrali, he says, no. When you sprinkle blood, that blood disperses. It sprinkles, right? Be'ina zrika mishtaberes v'lecha. It needs to be something which disperses, which breaks, which comes apart. So just throwing the stick to Rabbi Elazar is not considered Kain Zrika, but breakage of a stick is. Esve, he has a kash. The Brisa says, Safas lo tzah. So he serves the idol this waste. He pours the liquid waste. So he pours out the container, the ovit of Niraglaim, to David Zara. In both cases, it's chayiv. Rashi says, even though, you know, this form of service was never, not really meant, wasn't really prescribed for this idol. And Tesis adds that evidently this idol would expect this material, right? Meaning this material was typically served to the idol, but not in this manner. Okay, so he spilled it. He's still chayiv. Now, Bishlim of it, Shel me miraglaim. I certainly understand with the liquid waste, because rika mishtaberes. It certainly is considered is rika, which comes apart because it's liquid which splatters. Elot soya, but by the waste, a solid, my rika mishtaberes ika. How do you have breakage there? But soya lacho, speaking about liquefied waste. Okay, let me get that right. Perhaps Rab's chidush, that even just breaking a stick is considered Oved Avodah Zarah, perhaps is subject to Machlekes Tanoim, Shachad L'Chagav. We have a similar case. He takes a grasshopper and does Shechita in front of the Avodah Zarah. And again, Tosis explains, this Avodah Zarah was typically worshipped using a Chagav, but not through Shechita. So the material is on. It's the right stuff. But the form of worship is not what's expected to this Avodah Zarah. But since he did a Shechita, which resembles the act of shechita of an animal in the Beis HaMikdash, therefore, Yudah Mechayiv, he says, it's chayiv for doing Avodah Zarah. V'chachamim, no, poitrin, they say he is not considered doing Avodah Zarah. Maila Boka Miflugi, it would appear that they are disagreeing about this very point. Whether breakage of a stick, a grasshopper, resembles shechita of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mar Savar Amrinon Kein Zvicha. Rabbi Yehuda considers this to be Kein Zvicha, like an act of a Zvicha, which is done in the Beis HaMikdash. And when the Avodah Zarah is considered an act of Avodah Zarah, Umar Savar Le Amrinon Kein Zvicha. Whereas, Rabbanu say no, this doesn't resemble shechita. Who shechts a grasshopper? It's not required. It doesn't require shechita. It's not an act of shechita. Elokein pnim, unless you do something which is actually a matchup to the shechita in the Beis HaMikdash internally, i.e., on an animal. Otherwise, it's not considered. Loi says the Gemara. No, perhaps their discussion would not really connect to Rab's chiddush. Perhaps nobody would agree to Rav. That simply cracking an item to two, like a stick, it carries sufficient resemblance to an act of Shechita in the Beis HaMikdash and constitutes Avodah Zarah. No. Elokein pnim b'inan. Certainly it has to be more closely resembling of an act of Shechita in the Beis HaMikdash. So breaking a stick doesn't suffice. So why is a grasshopper different? Vishani chogav. A grasshopper is very different than breaking a hockey stick. It has a neck which somewhat closely resembles the neck of a behemoth. No, so he can suggest that cutting that neck does represent an act of shechita. Hence, Rabbi Yehuda considers it a avodah zarah. But perhaps when it comes to breaking a stick, totally mismatch. Totally doesn't resemble shechita, and perhaps all would agree it doesn't work. But in any case, Rab did state it as a fact that even breakage of a stick is considered like zvicha, and is considered a avodah zarah. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rab Baravu, Amar Rav. So we always speak about, you know, takrevis, right? Offerings, which are asa bahana. You can't even do bittel on takrevis. Now, what's called a takrevis? So let's go back to our halach. So again, this is Rab speaking. Avodas kecham shoibnas b'makel. If this idol would be worshipped using a stick, waving the stick, right? Shavar makel pafneo chayiv. He didn't wave it. He broke the stick. He's chayiv, as per Rav's opinion earlier. V'ne aseres. Here comes the added point of the next piece of Gemara. It's considered an act of worship to the extent that this item becomes takroibis. It's an offering, and it becomes osur b'hanah. However, Zorak Makel Lefaneo, if he just throws the stick to the Avodah Zorah. Now Rashi explains, we're speaking about an Avodah Zorah where you throw sticks to it. Okay, a little different version of this Avodah Zorah. So although, yeah, it's called worshipping an idol, Chayiv, but here's the punchline. Ve'eino ne'aseres, the stick does not turn into a takrovis. Why, says Rashi, deloy havitak, here's a rule, deloy havitak revis, ela mididike ein pnim. The only time something is called takrovis is if it resembles the material, the format in which way they serve Hashem, Kaviyach, and the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So something that's considered a full-fledged act of worship still wouldn't affect the item that you're using during that act of worship. It's not called takrevis, unless it closely resembles the carbon offerings in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's a new twist to the whole discussion, right? Amali Rav Rav Nachman. I don't understand. Maishno Shavar. Okay, so if he breaks it, then it's called takrevis. Ha'avi lekein zvicha, because it resembles the shchita of the animal in the Beis HaMikdash. Zorak nami, have lekein zvicha. Same question as we had before, right? Tossing the stick also resembles the splattering, the sprinkling of the dam, of the blood in the Beis HaMikdash. Amalei, he says, no, it has to splatter and come apart. But you know, we require zrika mishtaberes, that the item being thrown breaks apart, comes apart. Veleka, in this case, you don't have it because the stick remains intact. Ela miyata, says the more, according to this new concept that we just introduced, then the only time you have takrevis is if the material being used to do the act of worship resembles in its material and its format something of the Beis HaMikdash. So what about the classic of a desert, the Marculis? Right? That stone arrangement where they would stone it with more stones. Elmiyata Avni Beis Marculis, Vameya Astro. Why would those stones become Astro? I mean, you're throwing the stone, fine. You're doing an act of worship. So you are liable. The person, the gaver, the person committed a desert, but the chefza, the item, the object that's being used, the stone itself, unless it breaks into pieces, as Tesis points out, but otherwise, presumably a stone stays one piece. It didn't come apart. He threw it, but it wasn't mishtaberes. It shouldn't be considered takrevis. So why do we speak about stones around the Marculis being a problem? Why not? Why is it? What's the problem? It's not takrevis. Amalei, he says, good question, great question. I myself had that question. Afli didikashli, I was taken by that question. Vishailta, and I asked around. Who did I ask? Rabbi Baravua. He didn't have an answer. He went to the next chacham. Rabbi Baravua asked the Chiyah Barav, and he went, the Chiyah Barav went Lerav himself. Amalei, and he gave him the answer. You're right. You're right. The stone that's thrown does not turn into takrevis. That's not the basis for the isra of the stone. Because when he throws that stone to the Marculis, he is basically connecting that stone to the Marculis. The Marculis now expands, gets enlarged, and it incorporates, it absorbs all the stones around it. So you're right, it's not takrevis. It becomes an inherent part of the actual idol itself, the actual Avodah Zarah. And of course, as we learned before, Avodah Zarah allows for bittul, right? That will be the difference between Avodah Zarah itself or takrevis. Ironically, takrevis, which is merely serving Avodah Zarah, is worse off than Avodah Zarah itself. You can't even bottle it. So you're right, this stone being tossed to the Marculis will not turn into takrevis. Rather, it becomes part of the sort of part of the original formation, part of the Avodah Zarah itself. Okay, Hanichal Manda Omer, that works according to the Shita we'll see later in the Perek, that holds that Avodah Zarah Kechavim, Shleivet Kechavim, an idol established by a goy, Asur Miyad, becomes Asur immediately. As soon as he makes it, as soon as he manufactures it for Avodah Zarah, it's Asur. That would explain the Isur upon these stones added to the Marculis. El Manda Omer, Ashati Yovet, but according to the opinion that the idol of a goy only becomes Asur when that idol is actually served, when it's pressed into service, so Tishri, so these stones, right, the stone tossed at the Markulis, at this point, yeah, he established it as part of the idol, but it wasn't yet worshipped. That stone that he threw, nobody worshipped that stone. Jibi Mutter. Dolei Polcha, nobody, he didn't worship it. Amalei, he says, you're right. Kol achas va'achas. Nasas avodes kechavim. V'takrevis l'chaverta. Yeah, as soon as he throws it, it is not yet asur. But the stone that follows it, kol achas va'achas, the subsequent system, the following stone, nasas avodes kechavim, becomes avodes zara, becomes part of the arrangement, but also serves as an offering to the stone that was there before it. So yeah, you have an act of worship and an act of takrovis with respect to the stones that were there prior to the arrival of this last stone. According to this calculation, so the last stone wasn't yet worshipped by other stones, so it should still be permissible. He says, you're right. Amarle, he says, yeah, Iyadas law, if you can identify it, Zil Shakla, Gzuntei, take it. So anything but the last stone is Asr because they were all worshipped by the stone that followed them. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi says, look, I can solve your last stone riddle. Even that's Asr. You know why? Kulachas v'achas, every single stone that's added, Nasas HaKrevis La'atzma, it serves two functions. First of all, V'takrevis L'chaverta. First of all, it's being a takrevis L'chaverta, right? It's serving the other one, but it's also serving itself. Because it's different than just establishing an idol which has not yet been worshipped. Here, he's doing an act of worship with a stone. An act of offering to itself. So it's a simultaneous process. It turns into an idol, and also it's being served, it's being worshipped by throwing it, by the act of throwing. He has worshipped that stone itself. So that explains why all the stones surrounding the Markulis are usher as takrivis tonight. Let's take a look at the Mishnah coming up on the second side of our daf. Motza baroish ksusa mois ekelim. So he discovered ksusa, a garment, some money, utensils sitting on top of the Markulis. Enjoy it. Harelu mutar, and you can take them because they're not considered takrevis. They were just put there for parchile anovim. But if he has materials which are typically offered in the Beis Hamikdash, and we have indication that they're there as a form of service, as a takrevis, teravid zara, parchile anovim, you have the clusters of grapes, vataris shol shibolim, crowns of arrangements, of stalks of grain, v'yenois, wine, shmonim, slosais, oils, flowers, v'chol davar shekayetze bayi, and any item which typically karev l'gabe mizbech is served in the mizbech of Hashem, also, find it on the zara, you assume that it's takrevis, it's an offering, teravid zara, it's also. Now, we have to clarify. We have to figure out how these items correspond to offerings of the Beis HaMikdash, which, as we learned, is a prerequisite in order for these to be considered takrevis, right? So let's break it down, case item by item. Bishlami yenus shmonim aslosis, wine, oil, etc. Ikukain pnim, ikukain zukim shtaberes. Yeah, these things are typically served in Beis HaMikdash, and when they're offered, they're thrown, they break apart, they correspond to the format of the avodah. Ella parchili anovim v'ataris shel shebalim, but those solids, clusters of grapes, etc. Loikein pnim ika, loikein zrikim shtaberes ika. Nobody serves grapes or grains in the Beis Hamikdash, nor is it coming apart. It's staying as a single entity. Amar Rava, Amar Ula. What happened was, this fellow picked it off the vine, or in the case of the grain, he harvested it off the ground as an act of worship to the idol. So he did an act of breakage as part of his offering. And the Farshim explained, furthermore, grapes are brought as bikurim, etc. So, in any case, there was an act of breakage. So that's like the That's like the act of zvicha, right? It's like a shechita. In which case, it's considered an act of takroivis and becomes asr. Some mepharshim point out that it appears that even though he didn't have the avodah zarah in front of him, he went to the vineyard, picked a grape for the sake of the avodah zarah, to consider that an act of worship. It's enough to be considered takroivis because he had the avodah zarah in mind when he was doing it. This is based on Tosfos and Chul and Daf Mem, who says that even if it's not befun of it, not directly in the presence of the avodah zarah, the act of worship is still considered as such. Amar Avom Rav Yechanan. Okay, let's just recap this piece. Until now, we had Rav telling us that for something to be considered takroivis, the act of takroivis has to resemble in some way what's done in the Beis HaMikdash, like breaking a stick, tereva dezora, like harvesting the grapes, but tossing a stone, merely tossing a stone which stays intact, which doesn't break apart, that's not shechita, that's not zrika. Why is it considered forbidden material? So the Gemara answered, you're right. Technically, it's not called takroivis. It's called part of the actual avodah zarah. It becomes incorporated, absorbed into the actual makulis, and therefore it's asur. Now, although the Gemara did use a lashon takroivis with respect to those stones, but the Mefarshim explained it cannot be that we're speaking about, you know, the status of takroivis, because we just concluded that unless it breaks apart, unless it's not considered takroivis. The Gemara just means that it was an act of worship. He's offering the stone to the other stone or to itself, however we learned, but that's just in order for it to be considered avodah zarah that was worshipped. But it's not going to have the status of takroivis with respect to, you know, whatever takroivis has. It can't be mevatel, etc. Of course, that wouldn't apply unless it's ke'in pnim. It resembles an act of service of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that takes us to the next Gemara. What about if one slaughters an animal to any avodah zarah which is typically not worshipped with animals? He is chayev. And the animal becomes takroivis. This is in line with the Rashi that we discussed earlier, because if it's something which is actually done in the Beis HaMikdash and now diverted to avodah zarah, of course, it's considered. But, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbavo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Menayin lezabech beima balas mum, la'avad yizkechom shu pata. What about the animal? It's blemished and unfit for service in the Beis HaMikdash. And he now slaughters it to in honor of avodah zarah, which typically is not served using animals. So, it's not prescribed for this idol, nor is it a form of service that's being sort of diverted from the Beis HaMikdash, because it's not even an animal that could be taken to the Beis HaMikdash for hakrava. Shenemar zavech lo elim yachram. I don't do zvicha to the animal, to the avodah zarah. Bilti only l'Hashem levad, only to Hashem. So it's sort of a flip side, right? Only something which can be offered to Hashem and now offered to avodah zarah carries this consequence. Like Asra Torah only forbade Elokein Pnim, an animal that could be offered inside, as opposed to a blemished animal. Rav had a question. B'mai, how seriously blemished is this animal? Is it just a slight blemish? That wouldn't really get in the way of a guy bringing the, right? Ilema Badukin Shaba'ayin, something in the eye, a cataract. Well, Hashtel v'nei noyach, chazya. Look, a guy who's called Ben Nayach, Chazil Gavoya, he can even bring it in honor of Hashem, Bibamba did who, and their altars, right? A guy can bring a carbon to Hashem, even if it's slightly blemished. Because they don't have to adhere to our higher standards and have a fully, complete, unblemished animal. So even this slightly blemished animal is still fit for Hakrava to Hashem, if a guy chooses to do so. La'avoidas k'chav mibaya? Goes without saying that if he brings this very animal that he couldn't bring to Hashem, to Rabbi Dezer, of course he's chayiv. Ella, rather, was speaking that it's more seriously blemished. It's missing a finger, it's missing a limb, b'mechusar eiver, which disallows it from being brought as a carbon. Even a guy can't bring it to Hashem. How do we know that this type of seriously blemished, incomplete animal, even a ben noyach can't bring it? This was by the teva. Hashem instructed him to collect, you know, the animals. Mikol achai, full, unblemished animal, with all their limbs intact, right? Mikol basar, shnai mikol, two of each type. Omra Torah, Torah is telling him, havei behema, because the Torah knew. Rashi says, golo v'yodua, lefanav Hashem knew, good and well, that he's going to bring karbonis after the mammal. Hence, all these requirements and all these specifications, right? Omra Torah, Torah is telling him, make sure to bring animals that are fit for carbon, because you're going to be using them for carbon. Havei behema, bring only animals. Shechayin, chayin means they're intact. Rashi, Yivaran, Shelo, all the tips of the limbs, all the fingers, everything should be in place. Okay, so we see that otherwise it's unfit. And likewise, if a guy should bring it to Avodah Zarah as an offering, he is potter. Okay, we're just going to sort of give and take a little bit with the psukim, but the point was made. The message was conveyed. We understand Rabbi Yechonon's halachana, that if it's a seriously blemished animal and it's brought to Avodah Zarah, he's potter. Because it's unfit for gavaya, for heavenly use. Says the Gemara, hold it. Who says that if it's missing a finger, it's unfit? Hai u'mikol achai. This pasuk mikol achai, which was your source to preempt any blemished animals, miboyle mute treifa. Perhaps it's not coming for this purpose. It's coming to exclude an animal who's a treifa, a serious, you know, internal wound, a critical wound. Perhaps only that's preempted. No, that's learned from a different pasuk. Lach yizaranaf. That's learned from the other pasuk. That the animals have to have the ability to have offspring, which a treifa can't do, so it rules out the treifa. Leaving us with the pasuk of mekalachai available to rule out a missing finger. Okay, lach yizaranaf. Anichel mandoma treifa niyoledes. That works if you say a treifa can't bear any offspring. El mandoma treifa niyoledes. But if a treifa can bear offspring, Michael Meimar. So, the words melacha yezera isn't coming necessarily to exclude a treva, because a treva could have offspring. So perhaps mikol achai is coming to rule out a treva, but perhaps missing a limb is okay. Amakra, says the Gemara, we have another pasuk to exclude a treva. Itcha, the pasuk says, bring them with you, itcha. Itcha means b'day melach, similar to you. And we assume Noach was a healthy man, not a treva. So that automatically excludes any treifa. Why? Who says maybe Noach himself was a treifa? So Itcha would not be excluding a treifa, and therefore mikol achai is needed for that, and unavailable to exclude a missing limb. Well, you can't say he was a treifa. Tamim, the Torah calls him a tamim, ksiv bei, right? Indicating that he was healthy, unblemished. Well, maybe it means in character, in midos. Or perhaps bodily, he was missing. Dilma tamim midracha. Well, that's already covered by the other title. Tzadik sibbe. Says tzadik, righteous, with respect to his personality. Well, dilma, perhaps there are two aspects of personality. One is his righteous deeds. One is his pristine personality. Dilma tamim midracha. Perhaps daman is reflective of his humble, good-naturedness. But tzadik means b'masim, and his deeds. Leimotzes Amr says the Gemara, you can't suggest the Noach grufa treifa hava that he was a treifa, because otherwise, this Agadaydech, if you're going to suggest that Noach treifa hava, in fact he was a treifa, so you mean the pasuk is saying Amar leRachmana, Torah is telling him the kavosach ayil itcha means you can only pick treifas like you, shleimin loisayah, don't collect healthy animals, unlikely. So, chances are, presumably, he was a healthy man. And likewise, the animals are itcha, similar to him, have to be healthy. That excludes the treifa, leaving us with mikol achai to rule out missing limbs. So now that we've concluded that a treifa is excluded from itcha, la'ach yizera lamlitz, why does the pasuk have to say la'ach yizera? The answer is, im itcha, if only from the word itcha, v'amina, I would say, Okay, let's have sabam. They have to be healthy, but perhaps they can be, you know, past childbearing age, the animals, just to keep them company. I feel a zaken, I feel a saris, even if it's an old animal, can't bear any offspring, I feel a saris, or he's sterilized. Perhaps they're acceptable. Kamash mal nachizera, comes the words lachizera to tell you, no, noyach, ensure that the animals that you collect are of the childbearing age, so that it will promote their species. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbalos, minayin l'sheichat behem al markulis ru chayiv. So this ties into the previous discussion. You take an animal. You do a shechita in honor of the markulis. Markulis typically is not worshipped using animals, right? It's stoned. He's still chayiv. Why? Again, this ties into our discussion of earlier that anything that's diverted from the Beis HaMikdash to the Avodah Zarah, even though the Avodah Zarah is not expecting it, so to speak, it's something totally out of character, yuchayiv. And that's learned from this pasuk. Shneimar, the pasuk says, "V'lo yizbuchu oydeziv chayim l'se'irim." Ensure that you don't shecht your animals to the se'irim, to the Avodah Zarah, even if it's not the type of work, the type of service prescribed for the Avodah Zarah that you're attending to. If it's not really needed, this pasuk is not coming to describe the type of service meant for the Avodah Zarah on hand. For that we have another pasuk. Right? What are you doing worshipping their idols? I want also to do. Torah says, no, don't do it, right? That's speaking about the type of service which is meant for that type of Avodah Zarah. So that's covered in that pasuk. So this new pasuk, I'm going to apply it for an example of the Shalai Kedark, where he did it even though it wasn't meant for the Avodah Zarah. He's chayev, he committed idol worship because this very act is typically done in the Beis HaMikdash. Asks the Gemara of a halacha do asa? Hold it, this pasuk that you're quoting, using as a source, is coming for this purpose. It's needed for something else entirely different. Haimi Baile, look at this sign. It's needed for the other brisa, where the Torah is warning against taking a real karban that was, you know, meant for the Beis HaMikdash and bringing it, you know, middle of nowhere. It's not speaking about Avodah Zarah, as the brisa explains. Ad kan. So the psukim up until this point, Mudavar is discussing a case where he took Bekachim Shehikdishan. He took a carbon which was made into a hekdesh, was designated as a carbon, when you were not allowed to bring a carbon in a private bama, in a private mizbeach. It was during when the Mishkan was already standing, B'shas Isur HaBamas, when the bamas, these private altars, were off limits. So this carbon was designated, was intended for the Mizbeach in the Mishkan, the Yikriven, and in fact, he took that carbon, diverted it, Bishas Isra Bamis, took it onto his private altar when the Bamis were off limits. So basically, a sort of a double violation, because A, he was Makrev at a time where he shouldn't be doing it in a Bama, and it was actually a carbon which was meant for the Mizbeach in the Mishkan. That's the most severe of all. Sharei Anshin Amar. So the pasuk has already presented the punishment for this type of activity. Shenemar, it says the punishment is kareis, right? Well, Pesach Oyel Moed Leivioi. So if he failed to bring it to the Oyel Moed, Oynesh Shemanot's consequence is kareis. So we know that from this pasuk. As Hora Menayim, what about a warning? Every punishment requires a warning. We have another pasuk, Tamalemar, Pen Ta'ala Elisecha. Don't, right? Pen, lest you bring your karbanos in the wrong location. Where do we find that to be an ashara? Because the word pen means do not, right? Ukad Rab Avin, Amar Rab Ila, the Amar Rab Avin, Amar Rab Ila, Kalmakim, Shenemar, wherever we find one of these three expressions, either he shamer, upen, or va'al, Einoi Ela Blaisasei, it's a Laisasei. So that's up until this point in the Psuk. It was a carbon meant for the Mishkan. He took it outside. Bad news. Mekan ve'eloch. Going forward in the Psukim, it sort of drops a level. But speaking about Shechut Echutz, a carbon which was brought outside, but in a more mitigated fashion. Mekan Ve'eluch Medaber, going forward, the pasuk will speak about Bekachem Sheikdishem Shas Heterabons. Oh, this time it was a carbon, which was made to Hegdish when it was still permissible to bring karbanos outside. It was before the Mishkan was erected. So the carbon wasn't really meant for the Mishkan. But now, by the time he got around to it, it was too late. The Mishkan was already built. So he took that original carbon and took it to his local Mizbeach. Ve'ikrivan b'shas Yisra Abomais, and he was makrivit elsewhere, outside the Mishkan, when it was forbidden to do so. So that's also considered shechut ichutz of a lesser level. Shenemar, the pasuk speaks about this case as well. Laman asher yaviu b'nei Yisrael, ezivchem asher mzoichim. So they're bringing their karbonis outside. And we're speaking about zvachim shahitartu l'chakvar. So all of this particular carbon was really initially meant for outside, but now it's too late. And al pnei asada, if he brings it, it's like al pnei asada, which means melamed we learn shekol zaveach bebama. If one brings his carbon in a bama, kilu zaveach al pnei asada, it's as if he's offering to the sada, to the to the avodah zarah. And the pasuk stresses vaviyum l'Hashem, make sure to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash, to Mitzvah Saseh. It's a positive commandment. U mitzvah slash same minayim. What about a negative commandment against doing so? Tamaloymar. V'lo yizbuchu oydez v'cheyem. Be careful not to do it, outside. Which is the same exact pasuk that we cited on Amud Aleph as a source for a behemoth that was brought to the Marculus. And it's considered an act of idol worship based on this pasuk. And here we're applying this same pasuk for a totally different transgression. Shechut Echutz, where he took a carbon and brought it outside the Mikdash, right? In any case, let's just conclude this conversation. Yachol Yehin Onesh Karis, perhaps this lesser degree would also generate Karis. Tamalay Malachukas Oilam Tia Zois Lahem. The pasuk concludes, this is a system which will apply lahem. Zois means zois lahem. Only this. It's a mitigated violation. It's an asay. It's a leis asay. V'lay acheres lahem. But the other consequence, meaning to consider it a karis violation, no, that doesn't apply in this case. But bottom line is, the pasuk has already been applied for this halacha. How can it be used for avodah zarah purposes as well? Amarava, both are learned from the same pasuk. Kribe v'loy yizbuchu ukribe v'loy oid. Because the word oid, v'loy yizbuchu oid, the word oid is extra. That allows us to take the word v'loy, they should not yizbuchu, they should not slaughter. V'loy is also connected to the word oid, and no more. Meaning they should no longer bring karbonis outside them. So one is for shechut echutz, and one is for the first halacha regarding avodah zarah. A behema presented and served to the Marculus is considered avodah zarah, despite the fact that Marculus is meant to be stoned. But since this is an act of worship, an act of avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, it constitutes avodah zarah if done to the avodah zarah. Continues the mission. Matzah b'roish. Oh, this is the mission that we quoted earlier. Matzah b'roish mois k'susay kelim. He discovers garments, he discovers money, things, utensils on the Marculus. Hare ilu mutaren, you can take them gezuntei. They're not considered takroves, not considered avodah zarah. So they're not beautifying the avodah zarah, they're not serving the avodah zarah, they're just, been placed there, just because, right? So they're not considered part of the avodah zarah entity. Parchili anavim, oh, but if he has takroves material, stuff which is typically served, lahavdol lebeis hamikdash, lahavdol by the avodah zarahs, or things which are meant to beautify the avodah zarah, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Parchili anovim, clusters of grapes, atar shel shebalim, right, the stalks of, right, vienus, shmonim, slosses, wines, etc. Kol davar shehayetzeh bo v'chol davar shehayetzeh bo karmel mizbeach, typically brought on the mizbeach, aser, they are aser. How do we know these items are aser? Amar chiv rabbi yisim rabbi ishtia. We have two pesukim. Kasev echad oimer. One pasuk speaks about things which are accompanying the avodah zarah. But two shikut same, so you'll see their despicable idols. Ve'askiduleim, eitz ve'even, right, sticks, stones, kesev, zav hashemayim, golden silver, lying with the avodah zarah. So anything that's sort of accompanying the avodah zarah, becomes incorporated, is considered a, whether it's takrevis, whether it's considered, you know, an item which is meant to beautify, an accessory to the Yetzer, to the Avodah Zarah, same thing. So here the Pasuk provides an extensive list, not only gold and silver, which are deemed, you know, valuable and, you know, adornments, we have even Eitzva Evan, wood, stones. But because of Echad Omer, and the other Pasuk speaks about items found on top of the Avodah Zarah, Lo Sachmoid, Kesev Ezov Aleim, don't crave the gold and silver found on the Avodah Zarah. Here it's a more limited list, just gold and silver. Haketa, how do you reconcile the two psukim? We compare the two. Imoim Dumid Aleim. So, the first pasuk with the longer list of items found next to the Avodah Zarah must be compared to the second pasuk describing the gold and silver on the Avodah Zarah, which means Ma'aleim, just like in the second pasuk, Dover Shal Noi Osa. It specifies only things which beautify, which are considered adornments. They're Osa, but She'eno Shal Noi Mutter. Otherwise, if it's not adorning, it's Mutter. Right, because gold and silver represents adornments. Afimoyim, likewise, in the first pasuk, you should find things which accompany the, which align next to the Avodah Zarah. Dover shalnoi aser, only something which adorns and beautifies is aser, v'she'eno shalnoi muta, otherwise it's muta. So basically, we're sort of matching up the two psukim. There's no difference really. One pasuk is sort of revealing and indicating what is considered an accessory, what is considered incorporated into Avodah Zarah, only if it beautifies. Well, perhaps we should go the other way around. Let's sort of interpret and apply the Pasuk of Aleim, comparable to the Pasuk of Imoyim, where we find a more extensive list of items, anything, whether it beautifies or not. If it's found in Avodah Zarah, it's considered part and parcel of the Imoyim, Kol Shem Imoyim, just like the Pasuk of Imoyim talks about all types of materials found next to it. Even if it's not a noi item, af aleim kol shaleim. Likewise, the second pasuk aleim, although it only cites gold and silver, it really means everything as well. Im kamen, if that would be the case, if that was true, lo yomer aleim, why would the pasuk even have to speak about gold and silver found on the Avodah Zarah itself? Look, if stuff found next to it is also, surely if you found on top of it, apparently the message here is that it has to conform to the items found in aleim, gold and silver, which beautify, otherwise it's not us. Ask the Gemara. Okay, so how do we explain the items mentioned at the outset of our Mishnah? He found Mois, Ksus, Oikalim, it's Mutter. Why? Mois, Dovah Shal Noyu. You find money on the Avodah Zarah. No, it's certainly an adornment for the Avodah Zarah. So why is it Mutter? Amrit V'Ravyani, so they answered, Bikis, Kosher. Yeah, if you would have found money spread out in a nice way, maybe, but here, it's his money bag, which he just, you know, parked onto the, he slung it off his Avodah Zarah, just, you know, as a hook. So that's not a very adorning and respectable way of doing it, and therefore it's not considered an offering or a noit Avodah Zarah. Because it's his money bag, kosher, tied up, you know, his money bag tied up, v'toleb tzavaroi, slung around the Avodah Zarah's neck. Asked the Gemara, what about the ksus, the garment? Dovah Shal Noyu, perhaps it was offered as an adornment of Avodah Zarah. Dovah Shal Noyu, Amar Rabbi Yana here as well, was speaking that he used the Avodah Zarah as his, you know, coat tree. B'ksus mekupelos u'b'neches le'al roshay. He had his garment folded up, sitting on the on top of the head of the idol. So that's not a very... What about the kli, the utensil? Dovah Shal Noyu, perhaps it's an adornment. Amar Papa, again, the schifalim ashkilte, he took the pail, and he overturned it, areshay, over the head of the Avodah Zarah, you know, to hang it there, to dry it there, and therefore it's not considered. Amar Vasi Varchia. So how do we know what's what? Kol shu lifnim min akilkalin. Any item found within the partition, they had the partition that would, you know, provide privacy around the idol. Anything found in there, afilu ma'im melech aser. That's where you offer. That's where you do takrevis. So even water or salt can be considered takrevis, and it's aser, Rashi says, because that's brought to the Beis HaMikdash as well. So even if it's not something which technically provides adornment, but if it's an offering material, it's aser. However, chutz l'kilkun, if it's beyond the partition, so it's in close proximity, but it's beyond the partition, that's not where they do takrevis. So there, perhaps it's an adornment, It adds to the ambience, and therefore davar shel noy, if in fact it provides noy aser. Okay, so if something that beautifies, good. She'en shel noy mutter, but if it's just a block of wood which doesn't constitute noy, it's mutter. We learn this as a fact. Ein kilkelin, the concept of, you know, differentiating within the partition and beyond the partition, that applies to all other idols except loy the po'er, loy the markulis, except for the po'er where they would tend to their needs in front of the avodah zarah, or the markulis which was stoned. There we don't differentiate between inside and outside. With respect to what? Lamai. Elam, do you mean to say that filu pnim kechutz dami v'shari? That we don't differentiate, meaning anything found even beyond, even within the partition, is treated like you found it outside. Which means to say v'shari, it's mutter, it's not considered takrevis. Says the Gemara. Why would you say that? Hashta pu'urim mefarinon kamei. Look, they tend to their needs. Very base way of conduct and service. They do it to the avodah zarah. Certainly, mayim amelach loy makarin leidim. You don't think they would offer water and salt? It's not worse than the this type of base activity, right? So why wouldn't you consider it takrevis? Ella, rather, he meant the other way around. He meant to be machmer. Since these types of very base forms of avodah zarah don't really require privacy, it's antithesis to the whole concept of privacy. You meant to express your basest needs and basest dimensions of avodah zarah. So there we say, even something found outside the partition doesn't really play a role. It's not, it doesn't serve any function, any purpose. So therefore, even if you find the takrevis outside, the water, the salt, whatever, outside the, it's still considered takrevis. That's where they decided to do the takrevis, because the partitions are not reckoned with when we're speaking about these lowly types of, super lowly types of idols. Interesting, I read an article talking about takrevis. I read an article, a first-hand story that a firm journalist, he observed when he visited Japan recently, a year or two ago. He came to this place of the avodah zarah, this statue, and he sees this older couple, a retired couple. They were walking up with great, reverence and honor, holding this tray of fruit, all types of fruits and beautiful arrangement, and they put it down before the idol, and they, they prayed and they, walked away. And he was standing there watching, and he saw as soon as the couple left, so the attendant took advantage and he emptied the tray. So it served them well. It was he had a good meal. In any case, the next morning, this couple comes back to check on their offering, and they, lo and behold, it's totally cleaned off. The tray is not, there's no trace of their food. And the idol actually took their offering, accepted their offering. They were ecstatic. They were jumping from joy. Ah! they were successful. And this Jewish journalist, this firm guy, was like, he couldn't believe his eyes. This is like a story from thousands of years ago. In ancient times they would fall for these things. Today in modern day Japan, they still do these. Any case, the point of the Mishnah of the Gemara is that not every object found near the avodah zarah is considered noy or takrevis. Has to conform to certain parameters. Has to be something which either beautifies, now would be considered noy, or if it can be determined that it's used as takrevis, as being served at avodah zarah, then it would be aser as well. Says the Mishnah, avodas kechavim shaylagin. Oh, this connects to that story with the Rav Gamliel, right? That he was bathing in the bathhouse that was, on the auspices that was linked to the avodah zarah. So here goes the Mishnah. Avodas kechavim shoyla gina imerchas. Avodah zarah owned this property, this facility, the garden or the bathhouse. Can one make use of these facilities? Sure. Nehenu mehenu, can have an offer from it, because avodah zarah is avodah zarah and the merchas is the merchas. This is not an actual, avodah zarah item. So you can have an offer from it. You can go use a merchatz as long as it's shaloi b'toiva. You're not reciprocating to the avodah zarah. Rashi learns over here, it means to say he's not going to pay the avodah zarah. He's not going to pay a fee. Elsewhere, Rashi actually has a different pshat. He says, it means to say, you're not going to thank Avodah Zarah, you're not going to give it honor, you're going to give it respect. So, as long as you just use it and walk away, you're good. Ve'ein nen and mehen b'toyve, but you can't use it if you're going to reciprocate. Hoye shalov shalacherim. Let's say the facility is a jointly owned facility. Jointly owned by the Avodah Zarah and, you know, non-Avodah Zarah owners. In this case, you're free to use the facility. You can use it whether or not you're going to pay for it, and the Gemara will explain what this means. Oh, we had this earlier. So if a guy makes an idol, it's asur right away. If it's a Jewish made idol, then it's only asur when he actually worships it. So when he makes it for his use, it's not going to activate the Isra unless he actually uses it. We'll see the sourcing in the Gemara. Amar Abaye. Okay, so we had two cases of this Beis HaMerchatz. In the first case, it was owned exclusively by the Avodah Zarah, and the Mishnah says you can have a no as long as you don't reciprocate. And the second case is speaking of it was a partnership, was jointly owned by the Avodah Zarah and others, and there the Mishnah says you can use it regardless. So Abaye now refers back to the first case. You can use it as long as it's b'shalei b'toiva. You're not reciprocating to who? Says Abaye, was speaking about the priests, the ones that represent the Avodah Zarah. Amar Abaye, you may not use a b'toiva, which means b'toiva as koimrin, if you're paying or thanking the priests. Rather, only shalei b'toiva, which means shalei b'toiva as koimrin. Make sure you don't respond to the priests. Lafuki, as opposed to Toivas Evdea. Suppose you want to, you know, do a token payment to the attendants or to thank the other worshippers. As long as it doesn't represent the Avodah Zarah entity, the Shari, that's allowed. Iko de Masn La Seifa. Now, there were others who applied Abaye's statement to the second case of the Mishnah, to the joint facility. Hoya Shalav Shalachirim. In that case, you can use it regardless. Nehenaban, you can use the facility b'toiva or b'shalei b'toiva. On that, Abaye says, look, let me explain to you what's going on. It doesn't mean you can actually pay the priests or the Avodah Zarah. Amar Abaye, he's paying the other partners. B'toiva means b'toiva's achera. You can pay the others. And a grown Avodah Zarah, that's okay. Shalei b'toiva, but you can't use it. And you could use a b'toiva and shalei b'toiva as well, because shalei b'toiva is kermin. It means to say he's not thanking the priest. As long as he steers clear of the Avodah Zarah, he's okay. Okay? So according to this version of Abaye, man the masna seifa, the ones who applied Abaye's halacha to the second part of the Mishnah, the one that we just discussed, which says that even if it's a jointly owned facility, where the Avodah Zarah is not so, you know, is not the, you know, exclusive, you know, owner, and is not the necessarily the prevailing, you know, party and prevailing force, still you got to be careful. You want to use it, fine, but steer clear of anything related to Avodah Zarah. Man, the Masnei Seifa, Kosh Generation, certainly. Associating, thanking, appreciating the Avodah Zarah itself would be us, or certainly in the ratio where it was owned only by the Avodah Zarah. Okay? So if even a jointly owned facility poses a problem, certainly if it's exclusively owned by the Avodah Zarah. But Uman the Masni Aresha. But according to the earlier version of Abaye, that he was going on the first case, it was a merchatz owned by Avodah Zarah only. Says Abaye, be careful. You can only use it shalei b'toiva. If you don't thank, if you don't express, if you don't pay, the koimrin. But perhaps as avala seifa, but we can infer from there, we can suggest that in the second case, where it was owned by others as well, perhaps it's more lenient. Since there are others jointly owning the facility, so here, even if he thanks the priests, they're not really the exclusive owners, and it's not really considered an acknowledgement of a Devi Avodah Zarah. So in that case, Afilu B'Tevias Kaimer Namish Abridam, even if he pays the Kaimer, the priest, it'll be okay. He gives him like a token payment, but it's not really considered a full acknowledgement because they're not really the prime, the exclusive owners. So again, two cases in the Mishnah regarding Beis HaMerchatz associated with Avodah Zarah, owned only by the Avodah Zarah or in partnership with others. We have a Abaye who explains that when the Mishnah says use it only shelo b'teiva, it means without thanking or paying the kohen and the priests. Some learn it's going even on the seifa, where it's a jointly owned facility. Be careful, steer clear from the anything related to Avodah Zarah. And that certainly would be a problem in the Reisha, the first case where Avodah Zarah was the sole owner. But according to the second version, the first version of Abaye, perhaps this is only an issue if the Avodah Zarah is the exclusive owner. But if it's a jointly owned facility, we can infer from Abaye that certainly would be okay, since he can, you know, it can be deemed like that he's associating and really relating to the other owners. So although he'll do a token payment or a thank, express appreciation to the Kaimin, it's not considered a full acknowledgement of the Avodah Zarah. It's not according honor to Avodah Zarah, and it'll be okay. Okay, so in summary, okay, what constitutes an act of Avodah Zarah? So if it's something meant for this idol, it's certainly considered Avodah Zarah. If it's something which is done in the Beis HaMikdash, like taking an animal and doing Shechita, if it does it Avodah Zarah, it's certainly Avodah Zarah. What if it's taking some sort of material, like a stick, which is typically waved, right, to the Avodah Zarah? So the material is the right material, but he serves it differently than is typical. If he throws it, that's not called Avodah Zarah. But if he cracks it, according to Rav, since that resembles an act of Shechita, which is done internally in the Beis HaMikdash, that's considered an act of Avodah Zarah. It wasn't so simple. We had a back and forth on that. In any case, that was Rav's Chiddush. Now, what about turning into Takrovis Avodah Zarah? Does the item become an offering? So again, it has to conform to certain parameters. It has to be something that's Ke'in Pnim, something which is, which resembles the service of the Beis HaMikdash. So like breaking something, like throwing it in a way which splatters, right? Such as those grapes which were, you know, picked off the vine with the kavana of Avodah Zarah. Now, when we speak about shechting an animal to Avodah Zarah, so even though it's not, Avodah Zarah is not something, this particular Avodah Zarah is not something which is served in this way, but still it's chayiv, but that's only if the animal was fit for a korban Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to a Baal Mum, right? Even by a goy, if it's missing an aver, it's possible for his akrova, so therefore it's not considered Avodah Zarah if done to an idol. We discussed different levels of shechutei chutz. We discussed how to determine what's considered noi, what's considered takroivis. And we discussed steering clear of any offering, any acknowledgement, honor, respect, payment to Avodah Zarah upon using this type of facility which is associated with the Avodah Zarah. All the best to you and Hatzlach.